Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Are millennials changing the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Yesterday, we began looking at a book that was published in the spring of 2019 by Oxford University Press. It was written by Mormon blogger Jana Reese, titled The Next Mormons: How Millennials Are Changing the LDS Church. In yesterday's show, we gave a brief biography of Jana Reese, who has degrees from Princeton Theological Seminary and Columbia University, but she's a Mormon blogger. She earned her PhD in religion, and as I said yesterday, though I don't always agree with some of the things that Jana Reese says, I do think she's an articulate thinker and worthy of us listening to what she has to say. And Eric, I think this is a book that should interest a lot of us who want to evangelize members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, because in her surveys, she gives us a lot of topics that might be worthy of bringing up in the course of a conversation, because as I mentioned, I was even surprised by some of the statistics that she includes based on a survey that was given to a number of members of the church called the Next Mormon Survey, or what she refers to in the book as NMS.
You were not the only one surprised, because throughout the book, I'm going to say at least five or six times, she talks about how surprised she was and what the researchers expected to find. So when you do surveys like this, you will certainly come up with predictions of what you're going to get. But she said, this is surprising for what we received.
Well, let me ask you about that, because do you think it was perhaps because people were filling this survey out in the privacy of their own home and probably knew that no ecclesiastical leader was going to be looking over their shoulder as to what they would put down for an answer? Perhaps something like this does show a sense of honesty, more so than, let's say, if you had two suits show up at your door and started asking you questions about your loyalty to the church. Naturally, you're going to give them answers that they're probably going to like and not get upset about.
And you're bringing out a good point. And perhaps the temple recommend interviews, people are not going to give the honest answers either, because they want to keep something that they have. They have a recommend, they want to keep it. But here, there's nothing to lose. And if you don't think that anybody's listening in, you're probably going to be that much more honest.
Well, in yesterday's show, we broke down some of the generational categories that she lists in the book, although she doesn't focus on all five. But if you missed yesterday's show, let me once again go over it very quickly. She lists in the book these five categories of generations. The greatest generation, which would be 1927 and before. So if you were born in 1927 or before that, you would be part of the greatest generation, a title that, of course, was given to those who fought in World War II, and I think that's where Tom Brokaw probably came up with that. Isn't he the one that basically gave them that title?
I think so.
As far as I know, I think he did. Well, then you have the silent generation, 1928 to 1944, the baby boomer generation, 1945 to 1964, and Eric, that would be you and I. We would fall into that category. Then you have the Generation X, or Gen X, those that were born between 1965 and 1979. And then we have the Millennial generation, 1980 to 1998. Now, I want to mention, these are the dates that she gives for these categories. And if you did look on the web, you could probably find other dates given, but she's still pretty close to what everyone else says about these categories.
Her data would not be considered accurate if you were to take somebody else's generational dates. And so we have to use these dates to be able to understand what the book is saying.
Now, in the article that you wrote and is on our website, you mentioned that she doesn't interview anyone after 1998. So that would make sense. That would be the Gen Z generation. they would be way too young to probably even have a more vocal opinion on a lot of church matters.
And what we're going to do in the next few minutes is throw out a lot of numbers. If you'd like to go to our website and look at the article, I have those numbers in this article, mrm.org/thenextmormons. And the next Mormons would have hyphens between the words. And so you can follow along as we're going to go through here in the rest of the show.
Well, let's jump into this chart because, as we've mentioned, and as you mentioned regarding Jana Reese herself, she was surprised by some of the statistics that came back from this survey called the New Mormon Survey, or NMS. The first topic in this chart that we're going to look at had to deal with priesthood meant for men and not women. In other words, an all-male priesthood. Now, we know that's a pretty controversial subject among many in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But when you look at her chart, she has the boomers. That would be the older generation that I mentioned you and I would fall into. How many people had no problem with understanding that priesthood was meant for men and not women among boomers?
That would be 57%, close to 6 out of 10.
Are you shocked by that?
That seems like a low number overall, yeah.
Yeah, I would have thought that that would be much higher than that because, let's be serious, the Mormon Church has always had this tradition of choosing males for their priesthood. You would think that someone that was our age would be probably, I would think, more up towards the 80, perhaps even 90% category because the leaders of the LDS Church have always defended a male priesthood, which of course is going to get us into another category regarding whether or not the church really has Latter-day prophets.
If you go to the Gen X, they say 46%, less than half of Gen X believes that the priesthood is only meant for men. And then the millennials, even less, 41%, just 4 out of 10. The majority of millennials apparently think women also ought to have the priesthood.
So if you had that statistic in the back of your head and you were talking to a Latter-day Saint that fell within that category of being a millennial or perhaps even a Gen X, how would you frame a question regarding this? I'm trying to think of what I would come up based on knowing that so few millennials believe that the priesthood is meant for men only and not for women. I think I would probably phrase the question, first of all, asking them what their personal opinion is, because they may be one who agrees with that position in the church. So I would find out about that. I would ask them specifically, what do you think about the priesthood being only for men? And if they disagreed, I would probably counter that and say, well, that's fascinating. So what do you do with the leadership of your church that has insisted over the years that only men should belong to the priesthood? Why is it that you don't agree with them? Why do you think your position is stronger than theirs? These are some questions that you could possibly ask.
I think that's good, as well as whenever possible, go to the scriptures, where there's no indication that women should hold the priesthood. And if you go to the Doctrine and Covenants and other places, it seems on the issues we're going to talk about here today that the traditional view is the scriptural view when you're talking about the unique LDS scriptures.
Now, the next category is Joseph Smith is a prophet of God. Now, I would have thought every one of these categories should have been at least up into the 80 and 90 percentile. You don't even get close to that in any of these categories. How many boomers believe that Joseph Smith is a prophet of God, according to this survey?
2 out of 3, 67%. And yet, when you go to Gen X, a little more than half, 54%. And millennials, even less, 51%. That means 1 out of 2 millennials do not hold Joseph Smith as being a prophet of God.
So that means a great number of people within all three categories, if they were taking the missionary lessons with the missionaries and they were being asked to be baptized in the church, they probably wouldn't even qualify to be baptized in the church because one of the prerequisites is you have to believe that Joseph Smith is a prophet of God. Why? Because believing that Joseph Smith is a prophet of God gives authority to everything he said and did as the leader and founder of this movement. So if you were to tell the missionaries, you know, I don't believe that Joseph Smith is a prophet of God, I doubt very seriously, unless they were really looking to pad their numbers of converts, I don't think they would probably push you to become a member of the LDS Church.
Let me give you the third teaching. LDS First Presidency are prophets today. Now, this seems to be important to the leaders. When they get up at General Conference, they want you to think that they have direct communication with God. And yet, what do we find? Boomers, 2 out of 3, would agree that the LDS First Presidency are prophets today, 67%. It goes down 12 points with the Gen X, 55%, and a couple more points with the millennials at 53%. Again, millennials are just a little higher than 1 out of 2 who would agree that those leaders today are prophets today.
So let's recap that. In other words, 51% of millennials believe that Joseph Smith is a prophet of God. So if these stats are true, and it certainly they can fluctuate a little bit, about half of millennials in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints do not believe that Joseph Smith is a prophet of God. Can you imagine all of the consequences resulting from holding to that position? It seems like whatever Joseph Smith did or whatever he taught afterwards, it's a toss-up whether or not that individual wants to even believe what he said or did is accurate. And then you have not much of a different statistic when it comes to the First Presidency being prophets today. 53% agree with that among millennials. Now, I expected that to be higher among boomers, but Eric, I still have to admit, I'm pretty shocked because the number 67% among boomers believe that the LDS First Presidency are prophets today. That's exactly the same percentage when it comes to Joseph Smith being a prophet of God in their eyes.
Let me give you one more. God is an exalted person of flesh and bone. That's a standard teaching of the church. Doctrine and Covenants, section 130, verse 22 says this. And so if you're going to believe that book to be scripture, you would think that would be easy. Well, for the boomers, they're again at 2 out of 3. 68% believe that God is an exalted person of flesh and bones. Gen X, a little more than half, 55%, and that's exactly what the millennials are. So this is an instance where the millennials did not go down in the percentage, but still, just a little over half would agree with what I think is an essential teaching. I'm wondering, Bill, if all of the evangelical Christian friends who have been talking to their Mormon friends have caused doubt for a lot of these Latter-day Saints to think that God really does have this physical body.
Yeah, it's kind of odd because a Christian would no doubt show from the New Testament that God is spirit and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And there's nowhere in the Bible that gives us a clear indication that God the Father has a body of flesh and bones as tangible as man's. Christians have never believed that. That's something that's very unique, of course, to Joseph Smith and the LDS Church. But what it tends to show me is that a lot of Gen X and millennials don't believe their scriptures on that. Because as you mentioned, section 130 in the Doctrine and Covenants is pretty clear about this, that God has a body of flesh and bones as tangible as man. So basically what they're telling me, if they deny that, is they don't believe their own scripture, which of course would tend to reflect on what they think about Joseph Smith, because Joseph Smith is the one who allegedly got the revelation and put it into section 130 in the Doctrine and Covenants. So I think that shows that you have quite a few younger LDS members who have a big question mark about their own scripture, which naturally would put a huge question mark on the authority of their founding prophet, Joseph Smith.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.